This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah, our God, is the greatest, the one and only glory to Him. He warning humans to be the best and give His best religion to them. Allah, our God, is the greatest, the one and only glory to Him. He warning humans to be the best and give His best religion to them.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise be to Allah alone. We praise Him and we seek His help. Whomsoever Allah guides is a truly guided one, and whomsoever Allah leaves astray, none can show him guidance. May the best peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. My dear brothers and sisters, welcome to another live edition of our program, Guardians of the Pious, and today's episode, by the grace of Allah, is number 422. And today, inshallah, we'll begin with a new chapter. Chapter, The Merits of Ablutions, باب فضل الوضوء, chapter number 185. And the chapter obviously will begin with the ayah which prescribes the ablution. And this ayah, which Al-Imam al-Nawawi, may Allah have mercy on him, listed in the beginning of this chapter, is ayah number 6 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter number 5. But before we recite the ayah and learn its meaning, it is worth of mentioning here that this ayah was not the first ayah to be revealed with regards to the prescription of ablution and ghusl and their alternative, which is at-tayammum, in case of absence of water or in case that the person is sick and not able to use the available water. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions have performed wudu and ghusl before the revelation of this ayah. And furthermore, the tayammum was prescribed during the battle of Al-Muraysiyah or Bani Al-Mustaliq. So it was earlier that the wudu, the ghusl and tayammum was prescribed before this ayah was revealed. So you can say that it was like reiteration, recap, and crowning the mandate of purifying oneself prior to offering the prayers. Let's together learn the ayah, dissect it, and learn its meaning. It's a very important ayah, and we will learn that how much difference it makes to understand every word in this blessed ayah of Surah Al-Ma'idah. The Almighty Allah says in ayah number 6 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ وَإِن كُنتُمْ جُنُبًا فَاطَّهَّرُوا وَإِن كُنتُم مَّرْضَىٰ أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِّنكُم مِّنَ الْغَائِطِ أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْهُ ما يريد الله ليجعل عليكم من حرج ولكن يريد ليطهركم وليتم نعمته عليكم ولكن يريد ليطهركم وليتم نعمته عليكم لعلكم تشكرون.
The literal meaning of this ayah is, Oh, who you believe, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, Idha qumtum ila salah, whenever ready and you intend to offer the prayer, اغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق. Wash your faces and your hands, and the hands here refers to the forearms, because the word إلى المرافق, which is plural of مرفق, the elbow. So wash your hands, your forearms, up to the elbows. And then امسحوا, wipe, by passing hands over your heads, and wash your feet up to the ankles. وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, meaning وَغْسِلُوا أَرْجُلَكُمْ, up to the ankles. And if you are in a state of janaba, which is a major impurity, which requires performing ghusl and washing the entire body, purify yourselves, take a bath and wash the entire body. But if you're ill, or you are on a journey, or any of you comes from the place of answering the call of nature, or you've been in contact with women, referring to the sexual contact of course, and the intimate relationship, and you find no water, then resort to tayammum with clean earth and rub therewith your faces and hands. Allah doesn't want to place you in difficulty, but He wants to purify you and to complete His favor to you that you may be thankful. Well, as I said, this ayah is like a cornerstone in the course of the prescription of ablution, ghusl, and tayammum likewise. It is also worth of mentioning here that there is a difference of opinion among the scholars in many aspects in interpretation of this ayah. So for instance, some of the ulama understood that according to this ayah, one is required to perform wudu upon offering every single prayer. Where did he learn this from? They said the ayah literally says, Oh, you believe, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, whenever you intend to offer the prayer, then you gotta maintain tahara, you gotta perform wudu or ablution. This is an understanding which is called literal understanding. And what explains this literal understanding and waives the mandate of offering wudu or ablution upon performing prayer, even if I already have wudu. So the literal meaning, or the literalist, they understood that you have to make wudu before every prayer, even if you didn't do anything which have void your wudu. Why? Because the ayah says, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, whenever you intend to offer the prayer. But, as I said, this ayah was revealed in Surah Al-Ma'idah, last surah to be revealed, so it was revealed towards the end of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, while the Prophet and the believers have been praying way before that, years before that, and have been performing ablution and tayammum and ghusl years before this ayah was revealed. So the practice, the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam waived the mandate and the requirement of offering ablution upon every prayer, even if I already have wudu. The vast majority of the scholars, al-jumhur, understood that this ayah requires performing ablution only if your previous ablution has been void, or if you are in a state of hadath, which is minor impurity, or in a state of janaba, major impurity. And besides that, if a person is already having wudu and didn't do anything that voids his or her wudu, didn't answer the call of nature, didn't go to the bathroom, didn't break wind, or in this case, making a wudu or a new wudu for the next prayer, even though I already have wudu, is mere recommended. Because we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray with the same wudu several prayers without the need to make a new wudu for the next prayer, as long as he didn't void his wudu by any of the means of voiding or nawaqid al-wudu. So now we exclude the literal meaning and we understand from the sunnah and the practice of the Prophet ﷺ performing ablution before every prayer is merely recommended if you already have wudu. But if you happen to void your previous ablution, then it's a must. No one is allowed to offer the prayer or stand up in namaz without wudu. In the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يقبل الله صلاة بغير طهور ولا صدقة من غلول. The Almighty Allah won't accept a prayer without previously having tahara, ablution in case that you have a minor impurity, ghusl in case that you have a janaba or a major impurity. Okay. Then the next segment in the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribes the pillars of wudu and the pillars of ghusl and the pillars of tayammum, and also the order. And once Allah the Almighty stated an order, then the order must be followed. And you cannot travel, you cannot wash this before that, it must be followed. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whenever you intend to offer the prayer, اغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق. In Arabic, we have the direct object. Okay? The direct object in Arabic would have the vowel zabar or zair. Okay? That's why you look at wajh, wujuh, and you say wujuhakum. You see that fatha on the letter ha. The rest of the word is a pronoun which means your faces. Aydiyakum. The kum is a pronoun refers to yours, your faces, your hands. But the word, the root word, wujuh. So that's why we said اغسلوا وجوها, اغسلوا أيديا, which means that is the direct object. You, or who you believe, whenever you intend to offer the prayer, wash. Wash what? وجوهكم, your faces, أيديكم, your hands. The ayah says اغسلوا وجوهكم, wash your faces. Where, which part actually should be washed in the face? Okay, the sunnah explain the face from top longitudinally from manabit al-sha'r, from where the hair grows. So the forehead entirely is included all the way until or up to beneath the chin here. That is the face. So when I wash longitudinally, I go the water beneath the chin, covering the face. And from the ears here and there, this is by the side, so this is the face. The neck is not included in the face, nor is it included in the wudu, nor is it required to be washed in the wudu, neither a wajib nor a sunnah, neither the back of the neck or the front of the neck, up to here, the end of the chin. What else? This is the face. اغسلوا وجوهكم. The ayah says اغسلوا وجوهكم. How many times? It didn't say. So we resort to and we search in the practice of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu an performed ablution before his companions, and he presented exactly how the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, performed ablution, And then he said, whoever will do the same, I'm making wudu the same way the Messenger of Allah has made wudu before me. And he said, whoever makes wudu similar to my wudu, to my ablution, and follows that by praying two rak'ahs, لا يحدث فيهما نفسه, يعني he prays two rak'ahs with full concentration and khushu', all his previous sins will be forgiven. Just take this as one of the merits of wudu, and how great, how perfect, how wonderful is such virtue. You just make wudu and you pray two rak'ahs with full khushu', your previous sins will be forgiven. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I said, had been performing wudu and even tayammum way before this ayah was revealed. So this ayah was like a recap to confirm and reiterate the mandate of performing ablution prior to every prayer. Ghazwatul Muraysiyah, the battle of Al-Muraysiyah, took place on either the 5th or the 6th year after the migration. So several years before Surah Al-Ma'idah, a couple years before Surah Al-Ma'idah was revealed, which means that they were used to making wudu and they already have the instructions of making wudu, ghusl and tayammum likewise. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اغسلوا وجوهكم, then the required ghusl or washing is one single time. And in fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did perform wudu once by washing once the face, the hands and the feet, and by washing twice, and by washing thrice. It's like that he was showing the ummah and teaching them how to make wudu. And the least requirement is to wash once. And then twice or thrice is a sunnah. The perfect wudu is to wash everybody apart with the exception of wiping over the hair and the ears. That is only once. Otherwise, washing the hands, washing the face, washing the feet, washing the arms, three times. And in a separate incident, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, did actually wash once, wash twice, and wash some body parts thrice. All of that in order to make it easy for the ummah. This is wudu, and for the purpose of purification. Now we're talking about the pillars of wudu, then we will switch back to speak about the sunnah, how the Prophet ﷺ actually incorporated the pillars into the sunnah, so that, or the sunnah into the pillars, so that we see how Uthman performed wudu to show us how the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, used to perform ablution. اغسلوا وجوهكم, wash your faces, and we just learned the limitations of the face and the neck. The back of the neck isn't a part of the face. وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ, the word أَيْدِي by itself refers to the hand, refers to the hand up to the wrist, or refers to the hand up to the elbows, okay, or the entire hand. So what determines what Allah wants is the following word, المرافق. المرافق, plural of مرفق, which is the elbow. What you see on the image on the right of the screen is a hand with the wrist, which is known as الرسغ. Two bones on both sides of the hand, الرسغين. While the elbow is المرفق. And what is required in order after washing the face is washing the hands up to the elbows. And in this case, the elbows are included in the mandate of washing the arms. So you don't wash and you forget about the elbows. No, the elbows are included. Then, وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ. إِمْسَحُوا means wipe. Al-Masḥ, everybody knows how to make Masḥ. This is Masḥ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to some of the Sahaba who complained to him that he finds some harshness in his heart. So how to make his heart soft and tender? He said, امسح رأس اليتيم, wipe over the head of an orphan. that will soften your heart. It will bring to your attention that the need of this orphan, the child who lost his parents or at least his father, it will bring mercy to your heart. Imsah, that is masah. And there is a difference between masah and ghusl. And when Allah says imsah, you don't do ghusl. You don't do washing. You stick to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he says imsahu bi ru'usikum, يعني wipe over your heads. Some of the scholars of the Ummah looked into the letter ba. The letter ba is a proposition. The word bi ru'usikum. The original word is ru'us, which is plural of ra's. This is ra's. Okay? Its plural is ru'us. Allah is commanding the believers to wash, to wipe over their heads. The letter ba in Arabic may be used for what is known as at-tab'id, which means sum off. Accordingly, Imam Abu Hanifa, may Allah have mercy on him, understood from the ayah that imsahu bi ru'usikum, with some of your head, the least is to wipe over at least one quarter of your head. Whether you have hair or you're bald headed, whether you're a male or a woman, to wipe, so he says, if you just cover up to here with the wet hands, you've done the masah. Khalas. Imam al-Shafi'i says, if al-ba' refers to at-tab'id, which means some of the head, then in this case, any part of it, even if it's just a few hairs. While Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and the vast majority of the scholars said, no, the ba' is not referring to the sumness or sum of. Rather, it refers to wipe over your heads. So it's a must. And furthermore, they said, look, if we have a dispute concerning the meaning of the ba' of the proposition before the word ru'us, bi ru'usikum, then why don't we check out the sunnah, the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which will lift this confusion and lift the fog. How the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do masah, wipe over his head. Now we need to look at this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hand are wet, both hands, and he will do this. This is wiping. He will go back and forth. And meanwhile, he will wipe the outer and the inner part of the ears with the index finger and the thumb. Like that. So again, how to wipe in wudu over the head as the Prophet ﷺ used to do, Uthman ibn Affan explained, and many other companions as well. Now he washed his face, he washed his hands, and we know that we gotta begin always with the right limb. So anything that has two limbs, you begin with the right hand, then the left hand, the right foot, then the left foot. When it comes to al-masah, your wet hands, and when you go all the way back to the back of your head, and then you bring it forth, and with your wet finger, thumbs and index fingers, you wipe your ears. That is called masah, because the ears are included in the head. So this is how the scholars understood that it's a must to wipe the inner and the outer part of the ears as well. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ru'usikum. So the heads include the ears. I hope that is clear. Then here is something for us, for the Arab, for the scholars of fiqh, for the commentators of hadith and tafsir, they don't have any problem with. But some people got confused about it and they deviated due to lack of understanding. As I said a little earlier, when I started speaking about the subject and the direct object, and the direct object in the Arabic grammar, in the nahu, normally if it is singular or it has a fatha, vowel, zabar, because it's a direct object, when you say, I met Muhammadan. I, ana, qabaltu Muhammadan. You say Muhammadan. Why you say Muhammadan? Because Muhammad, in this case, is a direct object. So you say, I met Muhammadan. I met. You figured out immediately that the word Muhammad is a direct object. You're the one who met him. Okay? When you say, I ate tamr, which is dates, you say, I ate tamran. Oh, tamran, because it's a direct object. Keep that in mind. So whenever it is a direct object, you put the fatha vowel. We said, اغسلوا وجوهكم, wash your faces. Wujuha, ha, ha. That's a fatha. That's a zabar. It's a direct object. اغسلوا أيديكم. It is added to the arjul. So wash your hands as you do wash your faces. Then there was an intercepting statement, which is wipe over your head. That is due to the order. Okay? And then we'll go back to track, to the washing. وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ I want to enlarge and zoom in at the word أَرْجُلَكُمْ. What do we have on the letter lam? What is the root word of أَرْجُلَكُمْ? It's actually, the word is أَرْجُلْ. Your legs. We added kum in order to tell you that is a pronoun. Your legs, your feet. Your feet. Okay? Because it says إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ up to the ankles. The two bones on the side of the feet of each foot. That is the ankles. So أَرْجُلَكُمْ, which means now we say اغسلوا, look on the upper line. Oh, who you believe, whenever you intend to pray, then you gotta do the following. Number one, اغسلوا, wash. وجوهكم, your faces. أيديكم, your hands. أَرْجُلَكُمْ, your legs. You got it? Okay? But because of the order, there was an intercepting statement, which is امسحوا, wipe over, رؤوسكم. And in Arabic also, if any noun is preceded with a preposition such as the letter باء, then the vowel on that noun will be كسرة. There, رؤوسي, رؤوسي. Forget about the كم because this is a pronoun. I hope you guys are following me, okay? So, امسحوا برؤوسكم, that's an intercepting statement due to the order. So, the right wudu and the pillars of wudu now. Number one, the intention. Whether it's a pillar or a condition for the validity of wudu, it will lead to the same, which is we're required to make the niyyah. Washing the face, and we'll learn the limitations, and the boundaries of the face. And then washing the arms, the hands, up to the elbows, so the elbows are included. You begin with the right. Then you take the left and you include the elbows as well. And we will learn in the hadith, if you are able to increase, even go a little further up, this is better for you. But this is a minimal requirement. And then wash the feet. اغسلوا أرجلكم, because of the zabar on the letter lam أرجلكم. But because of the order, you see the feet, wash your feet up to the ankles. So the ankles must be washed as well. And the Prophet ﷺ said about the heels, which is al-aqab, wailu al-aqab min al-nar, because as you know that some people will just stretch their feet and pour water on top of them, so the water will flow from the toes to the bottom, and maybe the feet won't even get enough water, and it will not be washed. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ warned, you gotta wash the heels. You gotta wash the entire foot, right foot, then the left foot, up to the ankles. And the ankles are included. All of that is to be washed. The only thing which is to be wiped on top of is al-ru'us. And the more correct view is wiping over the entire head, not just one quarter, like what Imam Abu Hanifa said. But by the way, he said this is the wajib. This is what you must do. And anything extra is recommended. But The correct view is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, where he wiped over the entire head, back, then forth, and also wiping the ears, the inner and the outer parts of the ears. وَأَرْجُوْ لَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. Up to here, brothers and sisters, this is wudu. Let's not jump into the next hukm, which is al-ghusl, until we learn how the Prophet ﷺ incorporated the sunan into the pillars of wudu. Rasulullah ﷺ began by al-basmala. And he said, كُلُّ عَمَلٍ لَمْ يُبْدَأْ بِبِسْمِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ أَبْتَرْ. Any act, especially if it is something religious duties, you don't begin it with the name of Allah, then it is abtar, yani cut off, disconnected, deprived of the goodness and the merits. So some of the ulama say it's a must, and some say it's a sunnah. The more correct view, it's a sunnah, in case that if you forget it, your wudu is still valid. But it's highly recommended to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim prior to making wudu. Also, it's a sunnah to wash your hands twice before making wudu. In the past, and I wish we have a tust or we have a vessel, so I will demonstrate that they would have a pot or a vessel, and they will take water from the vessel and wash, as the Prophet ﷺ used to do. Or if somebody is pouring from a pot on top of the arms of the Prophet ﷺ or his body parts. So if you are admitting your hand into a water container, then there is a sunnah to wash your hands outside first. That's a sunnah. Not only that, the Prophet ﷺ said, and I hope you pay close attention to what I'm about to say, that whenever you get up from your sleep, begin by washing your hands. Before rubbing your eyes and before brushing your teeth and before using your hand in anything, because you never know what happened when you are asleep. Sometimes a person is sleeping on the floor, his hands got dirty, or his hands somehow when he or she were asleep did something with their own private parts, so their hands are not clean. Don't put them in the water container. The sunnah is to begin by washing your hands. Subhanallah. Then afterward, you make the wudu. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after washing the hands, did something which Imam Ahmad considers it a wajib in wudu, which is al-madmada wal-istinshaq. What is madmada? Madmada, where you take some water and you rinse your mouth. Al-istinshaq is to sniff some water in order to rinse the nostrils or the nose from inside, the inner part of the nose. And the Prophet ﷺ used to do them simultaneously with the same handful of water. So if I have water in my hand, he will do this. He will take some water in his mouth, where his mouth will be busy rinsing itself with this water which you collected from your palm, and the rest, you take it to your nose, then you blow your nose once, twice, three times. That is called madmada and istinshaq. Then washing the face, as we learned. Then washing the right arm and the elbow. Then the left arm and the elbow. Then with your wet hands, you wipe over your head, back and forth. Then the ears, inner and outer part. Then you wash the right foot with the ankles. وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. So إِلَى includes also the ankles, and make certain the heels are washed as well. Then the left foot likewise. This is called the perfect wudu. And after you finish the wudu, it is a sunnah to say the shahada and to say the dua. اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنِي مِنَ التَّوَّابِينَ وَاجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. O Allah, make me among those who repent frequently and those who purify themselves frequently. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this regard, in Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. To be continued, inshaAllah. After we take a short break, we'll get to learn about the ghusl and the pillars of ghusl, and what mandates ghusl, and what voids ghusl, then we'll get to speak about the tayammum as well. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Please stay tuned. رسول الله حبيب الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome back. Our phone numbers are code 002 then 02385131. Alternatively, same area code then 02 01005469323, and the WhatsApp number is area code 001-347-80625. And I'm happy to answer some of the questions that you received on the page, M. Salah Official, that is the Facebook page. I think we have a caller online. Ala from Germany. Assalamu alaikum, Ala.
Wa alaikum
assalam. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, raise your voice and present your question, please. Okay, not a problem. Try again. Let's see. Suleiman Karouf is asking a relevant question. It says, after I finish ghusl, then I touch the mani, and the mani refers to the sexual discharge, the semen, on the cloth. Do I have to renew ghusl or wudu if I touch mani? No, you don't have to do either one of that. Because touching, even if it is impure, touching any impurity does not require you to make new wudu or new ghusl. You just simply wash the body part which was soiled with the impurities. As far as the mani, we'll get to speak about it, whether it's tahir or not, and the difference of opinion in this regard. But in any case, you don't have to make a new ghusl or a new wudu. We have also an important question from Ummi Abdi. She says, what if someone has socks on and wipe on top of it? Is it allowed? Obviously, now we spoke about the mandate of washing certain body parts in wudu, and we said the sunnah incorporated certain practices such as al-basmala in the beginning, saying bismillah, washing the hands, rinsing your mouth, making istinshaq, and also keeping the order is a must, by the way. And something else that you gotta keep in mind, which is al-mu'alah. Al-mu'alah, which means to be consecutive, to wash those body parts which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered to be washed in ablution consecutively. You don't leave a gap. Some people happen to wash up to the arms. Then the door bell was ringing. So they ran to the door. They opened the door. Oh, who's here? Big hug and salam and chit chat and after, you know, some time, he remember, oh, I almost forgot. Let me continue my wudu. No, sir. No, sister. You got to start wudu from the beginning because some of the body parts that you washed have already dried up. Long gap would invalidate the sequence of performing performing ablution. So you got to start from the scratch. Al-mu'ala is to be consecutive, to do this, after that. Immediately, you don't leave a long gap between. And there is a takhlil, which means to put the fingers through each other, to cross fingers, so that you wash in between them. Same with the toes. And with the beard, use your fingers to go through the beard so that you wash. Because in the case of the face, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term اغسلوا. Wash. So the beard must be washed. If it is kind of thick, you go through the beard with your fingers. But in the case of the hair, it is sufficient to wipe over it back and forth, as we explained, this is what the ayah means. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained in the sunnah that when several times, in several occasions, he, instead of washing his feet, he simply wiped, he did masah over the khuf. The khuf is the leather socks or the leather shoe, even if it is thin, okay? And by analogy, it applies to the cotton or the fabric socks as long as they cover the ankles. And as long as you have put them on while already having wudu and ablution. So next time you want to make wudu, you don't really have to take them off. Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiyallahu anhu said, I was pouring water of wudu. And by the way, you know that there is a difference between wudu and wudu. In Arabic, the word wudu with a zabar on the letter waw, the first letter, fatha, yani you say wudu, that refers to the water which is used for performing ablution. While, so any water is water, drinking water, cooking water, use it for cooking, but the water which you use for ablution is called wudu. And while the wudu with the patient, the first letter, instead of the zabar, it refers to the act of performing ablution. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performing ablution, and Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah was pouring wadu, the water of wadu, for him, and then he washed everything. And when it came to the feet, everybody is used to washing the feet, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, so I dropped on my knees in order to take off the Prophet's khuf, leather socks. He said, دَعْهُمَا فَإِنِّي وَضَعْتُهُمَا طَاهِرَتَيْنِ, which means, leave them, you don't have to take them off, because I put them on while I was in a state of ablution. So he wet his fingers and he wiped with his fingers on top of the feet, with the right hand on top of the right foot, with the left hand on top of the left foot, or using the right on both. And you do not wipe on the sole or the bottom. And this is one of the things which led Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu says, subhanallah, the matter of legislation in Islam is not by intellect or logic. It's a matter of do's and do not do's. A revelation and a command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you were to take it by logic, we should have wiped on the sole or the bottom of the khuf, not on top. But the commandment is to do on top, not on the bottom. Now, brothers and sisters, before we leave, if you remember in the beginning, we spoke about the direct object, we spoke about the subject, and why the direct object has a fatha, and we understood from the ayah, اِغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ أَيْدِيَكُمْ أَرْجُلَكُمْ. So these are the three body parts which should be washed in wudu: the faces, the hands up to the elbows, and the feet up to the ankles. Correct? The sect of the Shia, they do otherwise. They do not wash the feet because they read the ayah as وَأَرْجُلِكُمْ, and that makes a big difference. You see, a little vowel would it change the hukm entirely. This is just to know that the Quran is perfect and is very accurate and very precise. So a vowel would it change the meaning. When you say وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ, so now you're talking about washing the faces, the hands up to the elbows, and the feet up to the ankles. وجوهكم أيديكم أرجلكم. But المسح امسحوا, wipe over your heads. رؤوسكم. So, you know, this sect, the Shia, they read it as وأرجلكم. They say وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم. Accordingly, they don't wash the feet in wudu. Rather, they do masah, they wipe over their feet. You see, we may wipe over the socks if we have to put them, if we happen to put them on while in a state of tahara, or the boots or the leather socks. But as far as the feet, if they were exposed, they must be washed. And if you don't wash your feet in wudu, in ablution, then you haven't done ablution. And if you didn't, then the prayer becomes invalid as well. So I wanted to bring your attention the correct understanding in this regard, in this ayah. Al-ghasl, or washing the faces. We have learned the boundaries of the face. Aydiyakum ila al-marafiqi, the hands up to the elbows. So the elbows are included, the right and the left. And also the washing of the feet. Wa arjulakum ila al-ka'bayn, the feet up to the ankles. And the heels must be taken care of, and the ankles are included in the washing. And then the only thing which you do masḥ, or wiping over in wudu, is al-ra'as. Imsahu bi ru'usikum, and obviously the ears are included in the ra'as. To be honest with you, I never thought I would take that much time in explaining just one segment of the ayah. You know, I thought I was prepared to speak about even some ahadith. But it seems like we have to begin next episode because we ran out of time, really. We have to be in next episode by talking about the next segment of the ayah, which is the ghusl, the performance of the ghusl, and then the tayammum, insha'Allah. Until next episode, I leave you all in the care of Allah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رسول الله حبيب الله الله our God is the greatest the one and only glory to him he born in humans to be the best and give his best religion to them Allah our God is the greatest the one and only glory to him he born in humans to be the best And give his best religion to them So why did they ignore that Forgiving all about it in paradise Worshipping cows, fire and stones Selling the best with the cheapest price So why did they ignore that Forgetting all about hell and paradise Worshipping cows, fire and stones Selling their best with the cheapest price Rasulullah, Habib Allah Rasulullah